Boogie gives Tyler Hero, he ushers him to the hoop.
Just get me to the playoffs. That's where I'm at right now.
That was more hot takes than I've ever heard you spit.
Nora comes in for like true garbage time.
Put your Tims on and let's play ball.
You guys are world champions. Like, what's that like?
Some guys sat behind us in a Phoenix jersey and in a Justin Fields Bears jersey.
I thought Rodney Hood was going to be good too.
I just have to be happy when my team wins and sad when they lose.
Jordan Ward, this guy stinks right now.
I had to unfollow you on Twitter. I was like, I can't. This is supposed to be fun. And I am going onto this website, and this person I have never seen makes me so angry.
No good. Bucks have gotten cold here of late. It's left the door ajar for Houston. They've missed five straight now. Matthews loses the basketball. Poke free by Holiday. Holiday knocks it ahead to himself. He almost lost it. Lobs up for Giannis, who thumps it down with the exclamation. The alley-oop, a rim rocker, puts the Bucks ahead by seven with 47.6 seconds to play in this one.
Two possession game. Drew Holiday with the pick. And Drew Giannis signed, sealed, delivered.
So I think we can all agree that's a pretty good call by Lisa Byington. Would we generally agree with that? I've been pretty forthcoming in that I don't care about announcers too much because the thoughts are bouncing around in my own head. Even like bad announcers, I don't care. Seems like there's been quite a bit of criticism, and that's a pretty good call. It doesn't mean that she's at the most excellent tier or anything yet, but it's fine. Nice call. Nice win. The Bucks continue to play with their food the other night, and randos who I could not pick out of a lineup, do not remember their college career, do not remember them in the D-League, or lighting up the Bucks on every occasion. Who's that guy? Man, and who's that guy? I'll look this up. Number 28 for the Rockets, Alperen Şengün. Şengün? Şengün, the Shogun. Old school moves, man. Up and under, and that like normally you only get the time to do two moves in the post. He was catching the Bucks with that fourth move, right? Like, up and under, don't jump at this one, don't jump at this one, don't jump at this one. Oh, I jumped at the fourth move, and then this Şengün dude was lining up. Kind of a fun game, and I think we actually talked about this before the pod, so I don't want to repeat myself on kind of the great divide between people. There was somebody on Real GM talking about this is your rare opportunity to not care about these games. You have a rare opportunity to not care about whether the Bucks win. It's like, screw that. Like, why would you want to live that way? I don't really understand that thinking, but... But the Rockets game and the Bucks are about to play the Knicks in about 45 minutes, and I'm sure that'll come up kind of again. I just think it's more fun to care about the games. Even more than the abstract kind of argument about whether every day you should be trying to get better, like from a fan, but from a viewership standpoint, we're talking about something else. The players should feel that they have to play at a championship level to win, and it's just clear that they don't. It's clear that they don't look at that the same kind of way, and then the question just becomes, has basketball changed, or are we cruising for the proverbial bruising? Because excellence, right? They should play at a certain level of excellence, and they should strive for a certain level of excellence and not just hope to have made more threes than the other team at the end of the game. But it's early, and again, so these kind of weird games that we're watching, it again feels a lot like me rooting against the Lakers for much of my life, or rooting against kind of the super team Heat, where you'd kind of watch and then give a bad first half and kind of a mid-third quarter, and then maybe they'd turn it on, but eventually... So the Rockets game was ultimately ended up being a fun game, but I just don't really see excellence possession to possession, and I'm fully... Like, I'm open to the idea that maybe it just doesn't matter, but it's just kind of weird. And if you notice it, again, what else would you rather talk about right now? Is there something more compelling to talk about when you're watching these games? The question is, do we have the eye of the tiger? Do we have all this kind of cliche stuff? Don't know. But then obviously the counter to that is, what was Giannis' line? 41 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So, yeah. We did have a couple of random questions. I asked for random questions, and I certainly got them. Let's see. T-Fence at T-Fence92 asks, is Brook actually dead? Well, I think what we have to say here is that I was wrong about the... Look, we thought it was an outside shot, but 2-3 weeks into it, there was a question. Maybe this is just kind of a ruse. Maybe this is just we can say back for a long time. And I think the shady way the Bucks dispense with all of their information, which is generally to say disinformation or nothing, kind of generally. But no, Brooke got back surgery, as everyone knows. And so there's some question now as to whether his... I mean, look... Keeping it real, like whether his career is over, although that would seem to be kind of on the outside, but just whether he'll actually come back this year. But the big question is, if he comes back, how effective will he be? And so I think a lot of people got really carried away, certainly me foremost among them, on the possibility of Cousins kind of putting it together. Cousins still kind of looks like a really emotional kind of player right now. And... Cousins may not be the answer. It seemed like a fait accompli, which, what does that mean? It means I'm pretentious, that he was just going to get picked up, and now he might be just kind of running out the string. It's still, everything's still in flux. But Brook is not dead, but it's, I think we need to go to plan C, is what I'd say about that. Derek Ledoux at DLish04, hey Derek, asks, interesting, how much value did John Williams add to Star Wars? How popular would the movies be without him? So there's two ways to answer this, right? An incredible amount of value. You have to give minor bits of credit to Spielberg for recommending him and to Lucas for being very hands-on throughout the process, and there's all this kind of scholarship around the temp tracks that they were rocking before Williams composed it. And so, like, I forget. But it was like, one was like Ride of the Valkyries. And they were like, I want this to sound like this. And I wanted that. Go ahead and look that stuff up. It's pretty interesting. There's YouTube videos talking about all of the kind of operatic and Beethoven and Mozart kind of things that Lucas was like, I want this to sound like that. And you give Lucas some... degree of credit for being like, I want an old Hollywood style composer, and it was the whole like second career renaissance of John Williams, all the kind of stuff. It's like 25% though. It's a lot of value. However, I do think it's fair to say that there were so many other excellent elements that went into the alchemy of Star Wars, including the editing and certainly the special effects. It just like all gelled together, that if it was like a Moog synthesizer kind of soundtrack of the era, if it was that kind of thing, that kind of synthesized kind of sound, it still would have been great. It just wouldn't have been as timeless. So quite a bit of value, but I think this becomes like the Tom Selleck thing. Like Tom Selleck was supposed to be Indiana Jones, and again, then with John Williams on that, right, you can imagine all of it, and I would think, you know, Tom Selleck similarly charming and everything like that, but Harrison Ford is perfect as Indiana Jones. But if you've still got these incredible set pieces, and you still have Lucas and Spielberg, and you still have John Williams, and you still have just all of it, if it's Tom Selleck, I think we just wouldn't have known any better, and it would have been great. When you could say that similarly for Will Smith and The Matrix, or any of these other kind of things, it's fun to kind of think about them. But I think the other pieces are so strong that you can, I can imagine Star Wars without John Williams. I would not want to do that at all, but you can imagine it. You've only begun to discover your power. Join me and I will complete your training. If our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy. I'll never join you. If only you knew the power of the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true. And see.
What's going on? Everybody okay?
They got a call. Said there was trouble in the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You all need to look around?
It's a little wet for practice, don't you think? You know, the girls have schoolwork to do.
They do their homework. Tundi's first in her class. Lynn and Isha are too.
Now, I don't even mind you saying we hard on these kids. You know why? Because we are. That's our job, to keep them off these streets. You want to check on the kids? Let's check on the kids. We got future doctors and lawyers, plus a couple tennis stars in this house.
The chances of achieving the kind of success that you're talking about is just very, very unlikely.
Okay, you're making a mistake, but I'm gonna let you make it. Watch him hit a few balls.
All right.
So tell me your names again.
I'm Venus.
I'm Serena.
So what'd you think? I wrote me a 78-page plan for their whole career before they was even born.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
These girls so great, how come I've never heard of them?
They're from Compton.
It's okay. They're just not used to seeing good-looking peoples like us.
She's nervous. Take a step up.
Maybe she ought to take a few more steps up. Just get someplace safe.
I think you might just have the next Michael Jordan.
Oh, no, brother man. I got me the next, too. This next step you got to take, you're not gonna just be representing you. You're gonna be representing every little black girl on earth.
I'm not gonna let you down.
How could you? This world ain't never had no respect for Richard Williams, but they're gonna respect y'all. You gonna walk out there with your head up. You are a champion, and the whole world knows.
The most dangerous creature on this whole earth. It's a woman who know how to think.
Yes, Daddy.
Ain't nothing she can't do. You gonna show them how dangerous you are?
Yes. Venus and Serena gonna shake up this world.
Venus Williams, who is your best friend?
You, Daddy.
Serena Williams, who is your best friend?
Venus. Then you. Then you. After Venus.
Finally got around to seeing King Richard the other night. It's okay. Like, it's no great shakes or anything like that. It's a fun little kind of feel-good kind of movie for the most part. What is kind of noteworthy is that Venus and Serena produced it, so this is... I was struck watching it how much they clearly love their father, because the movie really has no antagonist. Like, the father, I mean, I guess you could argue that Richard is the protagonist and the antagonist, but really, a little bit with gangs, a little bit with racism, but there's not a whole lot to either of those. Either this is a love letter to their father, and it's very striking compared to... I mean, for example, like the TV, the Jackson 5 movie, like Joe is the flawed kind of Citizen Kane kind of character. I mean, there's a lot of like typically what you would get in a kind of soft biopic like this is this person was so driven that everyone hates them, but look what they accomplished. And this is basically... Isn't our dad so great? And so it's kind of, it completely, like, I like tennis, and I think tennis is also one of the sports that the women's game is quite often more compelling. Just in the kind of, it's a little bit slower in the emotions. The three sets have more stakes and just better. But yeah, it's a character study, and even kind of the racism is shown more as like these white kids are spoiled, but Richard prepared them to always be having fun and protected them and was the crazy person. It actually, and obviously, and when you're thinking it, you wonder like, what would the Ball Brothers movie be in the future? Right? Because I think it's fair to say, and I don't follow tennis like that, that this guy, Richard Williams, was kind of stealing all the spotlight until they were ready to take over, and now you just don't hear. Like, I don't even know if Richard Williams is dead. I don't think he is, but like, the idea that he was just there for the spotlight, it movie and kind of the history seems to confirm that he was being strategic, if nothing else. So it was a fun little movie. What I always kind of want, where this movie failed to me, is I want cameos. I want, you get a couple of things, like fake Sampras is in it, fake McEnroe is in it, but I wanted somebody playing Agassi. I wanted Kournikova. I wanted Gabby Sabatini. I wanted more fake people. I wanted more actors playing tennis players. And instead what you get is kind of actors playing Nike reps and Reebok reps and movers and shakers, and I think like Bud Collins is in it, like, but it's more like behind the scenes or media people, and I wanted every little version of that, right? Like, that's what I demand to be fan serviced in a movie like that. So I want like Djokovic like randomly playing a side judge for no reason. That's like what I want out of a movie like this. But fun little watch, and you know, I don't know, B minus. I wasn't mad watching it, and Will Smith was, did pretty good. But again, it becomes kind of this thing too, where well acted. But when you're playing someone, when you're playing an idiosyncratic character that no one really remembers, especially what they were like, there becomes this question of how much mileage you get out of portraying their mannerisms. Because like maybe Venus. I looked it up in between. Venus and Serena doesn't seem like were producers, but they had final say, or they said they'd take their name off the movie if they didn't like it. So they had final cut in that way of looking at it. But like, if you're portraying Truman Capote and people know that this guy talks like a weirdo or whatever, then it, like, I think you get some mileage from this. Like, I don't really remember what Richard Williams talked like. So it's just Will Smith kind of, frankly, looking like his Hancock character but doing something else. But fun little movie. I don't know how many people would like be mad to watch it. So that's King Richard. So it is the 10th of December. The Milwaukee Bucks are in shambles after one loss. Not sure if we're going to talk about that. We lost to the Heat, so that counts for two losses, I think. But we wanted to do something a little bit differently. So throughout the entire playoffs, I kind of had this format for a while, and then I got away from it. And the idea was to kind of get two or three different people from kind of different areas or different parts of the podcast sphere, just two kind of different people and throw them together and chop it up a little bit. So we wanted to get back to that a little bit. Now, Win and Six already kind of did this with their Fans of the Champ series, but you know, I stole the top five from Brew Hoop. I'm sure I stole something from Locked on Bucks and everything. So we're going to steal Fans of the Champs from Win and Six. So our guest today, we have at Jimmy FK, Jimmy Kogutkevich. How close was that?
That was actually exactly it.
Spelled it phonetically. That's awesome.
Nobody gets it.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to mess it up. We're going to call you Jimmy for the rest of the
That's
time.
Fine.
Our second guest, you know him from Give Me a Buck, really had some really, really good guests. Really, really good guests. Good guest every time, but it started getting some really big gets. Got Jim Wazowski and Nikos Papagiannis, I believe. I'd seen a couple of those, and I've listened to most of them. From Give Me the Buck, we have Joel Graham. So what's going on, fellas?
Yeah, how you doing, man? And thank you for that, for listening to, you know, some of our podcasts. You know, we appreciate that. That's what we do, baby.
I can't imagine the coincidence of like rocking a podcast with another Phoenix Suns fan and then having to go last season, how it went, where it was like it just kind of kept going further and further. And there was a time where we were like, well, the Bucks are dead in the water, but the Suns got a chance here. Look at the Suns against the Lakers and the Nuggets, and then all of a sudden, well, we know how that went. But fellas, and really, I keep forgetting to do this. I need to introduce everybody as NBA champions, as world champions. But how does it feel to be champs? Has it worn out for you guys yet, or are we still kind of in that afterglow?
No, it hasn't worn out for me. I can tell you that, man. We are still NBA champs until somebody knocks us off our high horse. There has not been a new champ crown, so we still the champs. So I'm riding this until the end of the season, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there's no – it's still honeymoon period. Like, I get a little worked up. Like, that Heat game bothered me a lot. But like, so in those moments, I kind of ask myself, like, am I starting to lose it? Am I? Like, I'm really not. Like, I'm still – like, I see, like, Moda 3 had, like, it has a sale on, like, champs shirts. Yeah. And I'm like, yep, I'm going to go buy a couple more. Like, I'm still looking for the, like, champ stuff, because I want to pull out that, like, crisp locker room shirt, like, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Because I have, like, three of them.
So where do you guys that's really interesting. I know I see the Instagram ad sums, but they're just everywhere. But I did see just yesterday, I did see the Moda 3 that all that stuff is $10 now.
Yeah.
So like the earned championship shirt is like $10, and the one PJ's drinking the Cristal or whatever. Yeah. Like that. Those yeah. shirts are like 10. Now I'm sure it's shipped. Well, I need it shipped, but maybe you guys don't. But I did see all that. So yeah, it's. I've been thinking about making this purchase.
Yeah. So I might. I like what you're doing there, Jim. You're gonna pull a fresh one out.
Absolutely.
You know what? I might go ahead and hit up Motor 3 later on tonight, depending on how long they're open.
Instead of doing all that, why even shop Motor 3? Don't go to Motor 3. Go to TetoniaWorld.com. Our TetoniaWorld.com user of the week, brought to you by TetoniaWorld.com, is Marquette_G. Got the 414 mug in purple. We got purple mugs, we got black shirts, we got green, we got red and green, we got white, we got all colors except blue, only at TetoniaWorld.com. That name again, say it with me, TetoniaWorld.com.
Until we win it again, you know, I mean, this year, that's what it's looking like, though. That's what it's looking like to me.
Go, all right, so again, you know, this podcast is, see people who don't know, Joel has like a really nice structured podcast where he has like four or five questions, he lays it on out. This is not that at all. So you think we're going to repeat? Let's get right into that.
Listen, so I was listening to someone else, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was JJ Redick, where he said that the Bucks are built to repeat because we can play whatever style you want. The Nets, they can't play. Okay, our biggest competitor is the Nets. Of course, people are going to say Heat just because of that rival, but we swept them. So, I mean, I'm not worried about them. So I'm going with Brooklyn, right? So if you look at Brooklyn, they can really only play one style, which is small. When you play small, Giannis eats food. So I don't know. They cannot stop Giannis when they play small. But that's the only way the Nets can play. They don't have any big man, you know, like we got Brook Lopez, you know, like we have Bobby Portis. We got DeMarcus Cousins now. So any style you want to play, we can play. Like you saw last year, Bryn Forbes came and he killed the Heat. We didn't see him the rest because we didn't have to play that style anymore. We have the same, like, structured, you know, team. We can play any style you want. And we still have Giannis. So, I mean.
It's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
So Jim, if you notice, because I'm sure you didn't pick up on this, but I'm going to tell you what this is. This is a man who is used to asking questions on his own podcast and not getting to answer them, because that was more hot takes than I've ever heard you spit. Even when you had me on, I'd say something, I'd look you in the eye, you'd be like, this dude doesn't really agree with this, but that's fine. But you were being polite. But okay, so we're going to get some hot takes tonight. So Jim, what about you, man?
I'm less happy, I guess, at the moment. With Brooke, I like us against anybody, any conference. I match your enthusiasm with Brooke. Without, I don't know. I mean, we can play any style, but like that, I mean, you look at the defense, like that Heat game, this is a thing that drove me nuts. I think we all kind of like Boogie, right? We all want it to happen. And so Bobby gets that block on Harrow, and it's awesome. And I like go and I rewatched the play a couple times. The very first time I rewatched it, Boogie on that pick and roll just gives Tyler Harrow, he ushers him to the hoop. And I was like, we need a defensive big man. I want it to work. Hopefully Boogie sticks around in like some kind of way, but he's not like defensively. We need a little more help. I like us. I like the pride factor. I like the champs factor. Giannis can equalize any situation.
Right.
I just get nervous if Brooke's not there for the playoffs. I mean, we'll see what happens. Horst isn't done. I mean,
yeah,
he made a mistake last year with DJ Augustin. He got off him, right? He got off of that. I don't know what strings he can pull. He's going to have to pull something.
Yeah.
So totally, let's come right back to that. But just as a philosophical question, I have enjoyed living and dying with Bucks games since I've been 6 years old. I just have to keep on living and dying with these games. I can't be like, well, we're the champs and this and that. And now I do understand, and I'm not even talking bad about the people who feel the other way, but I think if you exist on Twitter to be in conflict with Heat fans or Nets fans or Laker fans, and that's like what gets you going. Like, I totally get that. But to me, like, I just have to be happy when my team wins and sad when they lose. And we can win 10 titles and I think I'm going to be game to game. But I think other people are like, oh no, we graduated, that's over. And I think that's the big disconnect now.
Yeah, there's probably a little disconnect. This is not necessarily healthy. This isn't the right way to be a fan necessarily.
Yeah.
But like the Heat, I keep it G-rated like he asked. The Heat are just under my skin only because they just are. Like, and you know, I know people like to say rent-free, all that garbage. I don't care. Congratulations if some Heat fan out there thinks they're rent-free. I don't care. I don't like the Miami Heat. I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks like the Miami Heat. I think every guy on the roster dislikes the Miami Heat. I think the front office dislikes the Miami Heat, and I think the feeling is mutual. So when you say live and die, like, yeah, like I get worked up.
I used to get worked up. I think the championship got me a little hungover or a little – I just feel a little different.
Okay. Now,
the regular season, I'm like, okay, if you just think back to last year, we lost to the Houston Rockets, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Porter Jr. put up 50 on Drew.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Means nothing. We won the championship. That's what type of time I'm on right now.
Okay.
Yes, we lost to the Heat yesterday without Jimmy Butler, without Bam Adebayo, and like Jim, like you, I hate the Heat too. I hate.
Interesting.
Heat fans and Raptor fans.
That's the one I missed. Definitely the Raptor fans. Yeah.
The Raptor fans too, because the Raptors will not be good for another 10, 12 years. They're not going to be good. The Heat, they can compete, and I think that's the only reason that they're kind of like our rivals now. Mm-hmm. But, regular season – let's just coast through regular season. Get a good spot. Like you said, I like, you know, our teams to win, you know. But if they don't win, it's not like the end of the mm-hmm. – I'm not going to go crazy like with the game yesterday. But I want to be healthy in the playoffs, and I like our chances. But regular season, last year, I would have went crazy. Like, yeah. I would be upset, but we won the championship, so, you know, I don't really care about regular season right now.
Well, it's one thing, too, that I think I've started to respect 5% here and 10% here throughout the years on Laker fans is, dog, they just seem to care about every single game, no matter what's going on. And obviously, so many people are Laker fans that they're like the front runner aspect of it. But, like, Laker fans are furious. Like, one game, they're just, Westbrook, this many triple-doubles, this and that. And the next game, they're like, get rid of everybody. Get rid of Pelinka. I can't believe this. By the way, LeBron, you're not Kobe, blah, blah. It goes right back to that. And I really do, on some level, respect, like, I got so old that I've come full circle to respecting, like, Knicks, Lakers, and Celtics fans, because I think they just look at it game by game, whereas I thought my heart was going to be full, and then the season started. And opening night, I was like, this is dope. We're probably going to win 70 games. And then I'm right back to just hating every loss. So,
Yeah.
Early on, I was able to brush off some of the losses because of how.
Yeah.
I mean, I share season tickets now with only one other person. So, like, I've been to more games already. Like, T-Wolves, Spurs, Jazz. It was like. One of the lineups was like Justin Robinson, Rodney Hood, Hill, Grayson, and Shemmy. Like, I just couldn't get too worked up about it. But now I'm starting to get there because, like, Miami bugs me. I'm glad we beat the Lakers. I couldn't take it if we would have lost to the Lakers.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just can't take it that serious. I mean, when you have a lineup like you just said, Jim, like, how do you take that serious?
No,
like,
you can't.
I think we're operating off the fact, and Giannis said it last year in his postseason or before postseason. He said it doesn't matter where we finish, you know. So they're not scared of anybody. They want to take on whoever. Just get me to the playoffs. That's where I'm at right now. Yes, losses hurt, not as much as they used to though.
And I think play by play too. I think there has been some backsliding, and I don't even really need to mention any names. The one thing that I haven't seen every second of every game, but I've seen most of all of the games. You're still seeing the same problems with Drew and Chris. I do think what we haven't seen is the Giannis, like, go into psycho mode, miss a shot, and foul a guy in the backcourt. I don't think we've seen him. Now, he does look a little hurt, but I don't think we've seen, like, him getting charges, him fouling somebody in the backcourt, him being on the verge of fouling out. And I don't know that the free throw percentage is any better, but I think it's looked a little more leveled off. Like, it looks more normal coming out of his hands, I think. And so I think, frankly, I think Pat and Grayson have been mostly awesome.
Yeah.
But so there has been a lot of positive stuff too.
A lot of people are saying that Giannis jump shot. I'm not on that bandwagon yet. It looks better, like you were saying. It looks better, but at the same time, like, it's regular season. Like, I want to see him do that in some pressure situation. Like, when we're on the road, game three, is he going to have that same mentality? Is he going to resort back to what he knows, you know, like that hitch that he had? So I'm not on the Giannis jump shot wagon yet. And we're not even that deep into the season, so I got to see it more in, like, a pressure situation. And one thing I wanted to talk about, sorry if I'm taking
– This is what this is. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Listen, Jordan Wara, right? This guy.
Stock down.
This guy stinks right now. He is terrible. I don't know. Listen, I had high hopes for Wara. I thought he should be playing more. I don't know if this kid forgot how to play basketball. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with Wara. Yeah. Can y'all explain to me what is Wara's problem right now?
I can't explain it, but it's funny you mentioned that because I also, coming into the year, I wanted it to happen, right? Because he teases you with that step back three and, like, how quick the release can be. It seems like there's something there. Mm-hmm. So last Saturday in the no Giannis, no Butler, Bucks Heat game in Milwaukee. We're sitting there and we're having a good time because the Bucks are, like, they're leading big the whole second half. And, like, Wara comes in for, like, true garbage time, like last 4 minutes. And I'd forgotten he was – like I totally forgot he hadn't played. And this was like Javonte Smart had major minutes, like all these guys. And I was like, oh, man, he is so far in the Bud doghouse. Like he didn't even come in on the all hands on deck, like bench player game with no Giannis. And I was just like, oh, he's buried. Like, but he's not coming out of that Bud, that Bud doghouse.
Well, I feel too, this is just my take, and I totally understand how it, I think people want to be first. So the first, both the preseason and the first five games on Twitter and Real GM, there was a lot of, I think people wanted to be the first to like see George Hill do something bad and be like, oh, wait, he's cooked, or see something else. And I see George, and George Hill's looked pretty good, I think. I don't think that's controversial. But even with Hood, who I didn't really care that we got, I think he's still just missing. I think he looks pretty limber. Now, he can't shoot 16% or whatever for the rest of the year and it'd be cool. I kind of think he'll be okay. Like, if we're in a playoff series and somebody gets, like, a knee to the quad or something like that, and we have to bring George Hill, I think George Hill will be playing. But if we have to bring Hood out, I always thought he was a pretty smart NBA player, and I think he looks bouncy. He's just missing everything short right now. But Nora... Well, here's the thing. I think we all kind of look for parallels, and I think that the idea with Nora, not that he'd be as good as Michael Redd, but he'd be kind of the Michael Redd guy who was coming behind Ray and kind of this other guy who was kind of free to consequence and could just kind of gun. Not that he'd be that good. I think I'm going to give him through the end of this year unless he somehow ends up in a trade just to do something else. But but no, it's been bad. Don't get me wrong. It's been really bad. And he's a tunnel vision guy too, so it's not like
– Yeah. So you like, you say, so you're on the Rodney Hood bandwagon or you're not on the Rodney Hood bandwagon?
I just think everybody's okay. And I think all of us do the same thing. Like there was that whole season, the bubble season where like George Hill shot 48% from three, like for like 60 games or something crazy. I just think there's all these dudes, like I don't think any of us would be shocked if Connaughton shot 31% for three for 6 weeks now. I think that's just kind of the variance of this kind of stuff. And I don't think he looks particularly slow considering all the injuries that he's had and everything like that. I'm not saying like, oh, I always say, I guess I'm not ready to sell my stock in any of these guys. Because really, other than Nora, I don't really hate anybody on the team. But Chris, oh, wait, I love Chris. I don't really hate anybody on the team, right? so it's like fine, right? Like the whole thing is totally fine. But yes, Nora's in the doghouse. I did want to say, you can respond. Let me know if you've seen this, and you guys are going to games and you're seeing this. It would seem to me that from three now, and this is not – you can't describe this on a podcast. The Giannis shot now, it's more up than down. Like he's – like from three, there was a couple of shots like game two or three where he was – we were like, oh, wow, he shot in rhythm. He wasn't doing the thing where he looked at his feet and got his elbow crooked and kind of did all that. And it seems now later, whether he makes it or not, the three-pointer kind of starts high and flicks out. As opposed to kind of what he was doing where it was kind of more forward. And so I think I don't know if that's good or bad that the motion keeps changing, but it did seem like it was more, I'm trying to think who would be a good example of that. But he's kind of more launching it now than kind of this Korver-esque kind of flick kind of thing.
It looks like he has more control over the ball rather than him just letting it go wherever it goes. But I'm not on the Rodney Hood bandwagon. I was on the Rodney Hood bandwagon until he starts to look very – he just looks scared. Like he doesn't want to do anything wrong. Like he needs to just go out there and play. But right now, he just looks scared. I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's just him. I don't know what it is. But he does look slow to me. I know you say he doesn't look slow. To me, he looks slow. He looks like he's second-guessing himself. And I'm off that bandwagon. I thought Rodney Hood was going to be good too, but nah, he's terrible too, man. I gotta say, Rodney Hood is not good.
All right, Jim. So what are your pet hot takes on any of the roster? We touched on Boogie a little bit. We touched on any. Who are you liking? Who are you not liking?
On any of the roster?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't really necessarily a hot take, but like, I mean. Pat Connaughton, I cannot believe it. That contract was the Bucks Twitter, like it was like instant volcano rage.
Yep.
When they gave that to him. And it was like, holy, it gets worse. It's not 2 years. It's 3 years.
Yeah.
It's more than he's making. We didn't have to do this. And he has already outplayed it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That third year is not going to happen. Okay. He may come back, but it's not on that contract. Right. And I watch these games now, and I'm no shooting coach. I'm just a guy. But everything about that release, the way his feet are, the whole setup, I can almost tell if it's going in just based on how he lets it go.
Yeah.
And like, this dude became an essential piece of a finals champion.
Yeah.
They don't win the title without Pat Connaughton.
They don't get out of Brooklyn game seven without him. There's all these other games we've forgotten too. We're just like, oh, everybody else is playing bad, but Connaughton's 4-7 or whatever.
And I go and I watch these games now, not road games because it's Bally's and I refuse to cave to that garbage. I refuse to cave to that garbage. But like I watch these games now and I'm just like, he comes in, I'm like, all right, steady hand. Like I like him in any lineup. Even on these like injury nights.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, thank God for Pat Connaughton, which I didn't want to have to say 2 years ago, right? But like that's the guy this year. And then the other one is Rodney Hood. Like anything we get from Rodney is gravy. I mean, torn Achilles back.
He's playing well right now.
No,
nobody thinks he's playing. But let's be clear.
I'm just making sure we're all in attendance with that one.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this, because let's go full circle back to Boogie then, because I think it might be four games, but I think it's three games, but it's somewhere in there. I think there was like the immediate reaction of that's a name, and I think everybody kind of wanted to jump, and I was kind of just neutral. I do think I may have jumped the gun by saying he's our Bill Walton with the 86 Celtics after seeing both him foul everybody every possession and, like you said, kind of, and Jimmy had mentioned that, but I wanted to kind of get back to that. I wonder, there is some question to me now whether he can adjust usage-wise. Like, he's doing a lot. But the thing, even he had, I think game two or three, he had the spin dunk, and I jumped out of my chair and everything. But then when you see the side angle, he's kind of reached that kind of that pump fake age of life where he had to pump fake and kind of make. And then he cleared it, but it was up here. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's reached the Wiley vet stage. He still looks pretty quick, but he still seems pretty angry, like on the court.
He's got the anger. What was that game he had the crazy foul trouble? I think it was Miami, actually, on Saturday.
Okay,
he got whistled for everything, right?
Yeah.
And but man, for me, I was ready to deliver a Boogie hot take until I rewatched that Bobby Block on Hero. Like Cousins is so lost. Like, I mean, it's like it's not even no effort. It's like whatever it could be, like a removal of effort. He literally just turns around and is like, hey, is there anybody back there to fix this? Because I'm not doing anything. I think that's going to be the problem, is like they'll have to decide, like, this dude's just not enough on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was the thing with Bobby, though, too. Last year, they were saying Bobby wasn't enough on defense. And then Bobby picked it up a little bit, you know? So hopefully Boogie can do that. But I'm with you on the to circle back to the Pat Connaughton thing, when he signed that deal, I don't think he was playing really well to get a three-year deal. Mm-hmm. But Horse, being the smart in Horse we trust, he signed that, and Pat is worth every penny of that thing. So I like that. That, like you were saying, when that shot goes up, I think it's going in from Pat, man. Ain't that crazy to say? We wouldn't win the championship without Pat Connaughton.
Right. Yeah, and really decisively so. I think, too, that there's kind of a related question. I don't know if – and I have the conspiracy brain, but I think when it happened at the time, it was like, oh, conspiracy – oh, you know what? Giannis is going to re-sign because him and Pat are like workout buddies, so maybe that means something. And we were all trying to – well, I don't know. Giannis isn't saying anything, but, you know, we got Pat. Now we're doing this deal, and – And I think in the early days of when it looked like Bogdan, before all that started, we were like, okay, here's the plan. Everybody knows this, and Giannis is going to sign Saturday. And then, like, Saturday came and left, and it was Sunday, and then, like, training camp started, and everybody was kind of, I think, kind of freaked out about the whole thing. And now, but I mean, there's something to be said for continuity, too. I mean, that's kind of the thing. You can't change the line. I mean, that's not that it was really his fault when he's running against the Warriors, but that I think some of the LeBron teams, the first Cavs stint, were kind of beset by kind of too much turnover, and they were always kind of, you can't turn over all the role players all the time and have it work. You know,
right. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but you brought up the Bogey. We didn't get Bogey last year, you know, the botched trade and what have you. I think Grayson Allen is better than Bogey. What do you guys think? Because defensively, he's way better. He's shooting it way better. Bogey's always hurt, you know. Like, I think he's been hurt in Atlanta for a lot of last year.
He's hurt a lot this year.
And a lot this year. So, Grayson Allen is better than Bogey.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm pretty sure it was this game. So, tell me if you remember this game. This is the game last year where we had dumped Bledsoe, and then Bledsoe came back and hit like 5 threes on us with Memphis. And I feel like Grayson also was hot that game. And I was like, what is Grayson Allen? I feel like Bledsoe was 3 for 6 and Allen was 5 for 7 for 3 or whatever that game. And we lost to, was it the Pelicans? Was that where they were at? Wherever they were at. No, Memphis. But wherever they were at, it was like, maybe they were back-to-back nights, so they were on a West Coast trip because Grayson was on Memphis. And we'll look that up. But sure. Like, whatever game, he played the Bucks and hit like 4 threes.
Yeah.
And we either lost or it was way too close. And it was one game out of 82, but we were like, wow, Grayson Allen looks pretty good. And now I just don't ever think he's going to miss. I mean, it's like you said, Grayson, Pat, and when Chris is shooting, like, it's like, hey, if we got Grayson, Pat, and Chris back there, there you go. I mean, and we know Drew's going to make it if he does a step back and miss it every other time. And that's also kind of the thing, right?
That's the weirdest shot to me. And I'm gravity. I'm a slave to gravity. I can't jump. I can't move. I can't do anything. But that dude will jump back like 5 feet.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even wait. Like, he just launches straight into it. It's such a weird spring for a shot.
I wonder, I don't know if the release is actually low, but it feels like he like backs up so then he can like release it at his head, but he just kind of falls back and I'm like, okay, this is going in. You can just kind of tell.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing with that is I'm pretty sure that's like his comfort zone. Like that shot, he practiced a million times. Like I was watching him with the Pelicans I don't think he did it too much in Philly, but with the Pelicans, he loved that shot. And I think he just loves that shot, man. And
that shot and the 16-foot baseline shot, which he hit the game winner, which he hit it in the Brooklyn series. Like he's constantly going to that weird distance baseline shot, which is also kind of like a half fade sometimes, right?
Yeah, I think that's his comfort zone, man. But with Drew, I think I like Drew. I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive offensively, though. Defense, I think he worries about defense too much, which it sounds weird, but like he cares about defense a lot and not about offense enough. And I want people to care about defense a lot, but I think Drew needs to take some of that pride defensively and just add on to it on the offensive end.
Right.
What do y'all think about PJ? Do y'all think we should let him go or not?
I mean,
you watched the game.
That's a two-tiered answer. One tier, first tier is no, they should have re-signed him. But then the second tier is it's not my money. I want, in a perfect world, I want him. You run it back as the champs with PJ Tucker, but it didn't happen. And, you know, I just can't like hold on to that. I know a lot of people are just like, I mean, you can't scroll more than 5 seconds without someone angry at the Bucks owners. Right. And
yeah.
I hear you, like, it's not, that's just what, that's the decision that was made. He's not here. I mean, Saturday when we played the Heat here, he didn't really do anything.
He was off.
Right? And he didn't play much either. You know, Wednesday night, he decided, he's like, all right, I'm pride, right? I mean, PJ's got a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. And so he made a point. And it's just going to be like that when we play the Heat all the time. I wish he was here, but it's, I mean, it's not. There's no point in dwelling on it. He's gone. It sucks.
So if you had the money, if you were ownership, Jim, would you sign PJ?
I mean, it's easy for me to say, yeah, of course. But like with my hypothetical billions, pay my hypothetical luxury tax. I mean, I'd like to think I would, but it's, you know, it's an exercise, and like we'll always. The Bucks Twitter has carved out its territory on that argument, and no one is coming off their spot. Like, that's where it is.
Check it out. I think it's fine. I still think it's fine. I think these are the decisions that you have to make. He looked really, really good December 7th or whatever day that was. I think he's going to be 6 months older when the playoffs come around.
Mm-hmm.
And I really respect the PJ experience. Like, I'm not saying anything bad, but one of the things, there were four or five things that I wish I could have put in that last finals video. I wish I could have figured out a way to make it run through the whole playoffs and everything.
Nope video, by the way.
The best. Thank you. It was the best. It was so good.
Thank you.
I was so fired up watching that.
So some of the stuff I couldn't include him looking at KD's mom, which I thought was just a truly charming moment. That's just a wonderful moment, but I didn't do that series. And then, you know, like what's his name for the Suns? Booker getting seven, eight foul calls. I mean, there were certain stuff that was part of the games, you know, but you just couldn't include like what's his name for the Badgers coming in and hitting a couple of shots. Like,
oh,
Frank the Tank, like
Kaminsky.
There was stuff you had to leave on the bone because it was just I was for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of stuff we forget. I love PJ. His time has passed. If we have Surly, if DeMarcus makes the team, and we have Surly, DeMarcus, and we have Drew, because the whole thing, I mean, part of what it is that Chris gets passive, Drew isn't really a point guard, and Giannis only knows how to play one speed. And so part of the dog thing was like, hey, I'm PJ Tucker. I play street like all the time. So like, I know how to, like, he's comfortable, right? He's playing a Timberlands. Like, he's fine. Right. It's like no big deal to him. Right. And he's like, no guys, it's like a boxer who like fights in a phone booth. And he's just like, this is where I operate. Right. He's like, Giannis is going to like just explode. And PJ is like, no, I'm a dog all the time. And so I do respect all that kind of stuff. Between Bobby and Boogie, and if they make a trade, I think there's enough crazy people. I just don't kind of want shooter white guys on the bench. I want some other people who mix it up a little bit, and that just kind of shows my age because I'm still thinking it's like Knicks Bulls. But I just think he's done. I just think you couldn't have paid him that money. I think, you know, I'm not ready to be wrong about that yet. And sometimes it's true that a guy, but like, how many times have you watched the playoffs? And whatever team it is, you haven't thought about this guy all year. I mean, shoot, it seems like a lot of times it's what's his name from Marquette? It's Jay Crowder, and he's on Utah or something, whatever. And you're like, wow, this guy is a seventh. Like, I'm fully prepared to come through the playoffs and make fun of Kyle Lowry all year, and then have Kyle Lowry have 37 points in the first round against some other team. And you're like, wow, that's why they got Kyle Lowry, but. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that for 16 games that he's the guy that I would have paid. I thought it was kind of – and I was happy for him that he whooped us, but I'm not ready to say that we were wrong about that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the team also, if they sign him, they don't do other stuff, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm happy with where it's at. And again, if Brooke Lopez shows up second round of the playoffs good enough to play 30 minutes, I'm fine. Yeah. I like the team. The team with Brooke is a title winner.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But the thing with the PJ thing is Bobby took a very – Bobby's deal is probably one of the craziest deals in NBA history.
He got some Bitcoin with that deal or something. I don't know what's going on, man. Yes, you're right.
You had to get something, but with him getting, what was it, $9 million or something like that? PJ, I think you're running back, man. I know PJ is old, 36, but he has that old mentality, like, you know, put your Timbs on and let's play ball kind of deal. And yeah, the Nets, Kevin Durant torched PJ. Like, he torched him. But he made it harder on him. Who do we have this year that's going to make it hard on Kevin Durant?
Here's the counterpoint, though. What more can he do? Like, 49 points. Like, what? Like, is he going to get 65? Like,
I think if somebody else was guarding him, like Chris Middleton, I think he would have scored 65.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, how much better can Durant be in a playoff series? I'm with you though. Like, I heard you say on the last podcast, like, you think Kyrie is going to play for them. I refuse to believe that this season features no Kyrie games at all.
See, I've tried so hard not to talk about the back stuff because it goes like, what if they got their chewable up and running and all of a sudden we're taking a vitamin C, by April? Like, there's a lot of different stuff. There's a lot the world has changed. Like, it's been a year and a half, but like every month of this thing has been really interesting. And we know good and well Kyrie never wants to work anyway. So like, forget all the COVID stuff. Like, he wants to play about 50 games regardless. And I'm scared of him. Like, in my head, like, he tanked that series. I was so, like, this is a problem I have with Bucks Twitter, just kind of in general, is I think we like dunking on other people so much that we're not really sure what happened. And I do feel like 2019, he wrecked the Celtics. But, like, the Celtics were, we were a little bit better than the Celtics, but we weren't really, to me, 5 games better than them. It's just Kyrie wasn't happening, right? And so I'm scared of, like, the good – like, he might kill his team, but he'll also kill your team. And I'm scared of that kind of wild card aspect of it. And I'm just being honest about it. You know, like, it's fun to laugh when we beat them, but I'd much rather play an untalented team than a team with, you know, Harden, KD, and Kyrie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to play Kyrie, man. I don't want to play him. He's – like you said, he's a wild card. He can either kill your team. I think he's unguardable. He's one of the guys that's unguardable.
He's incredible.
I would rather play Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant is healthy. He's, you know, besides those injuries. But Kevin Durant and James Harden in a series rather than Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah.
Because James Harden can be stopped. Kyrie Irving can't. But he could kill your team too, you know? And I don't want to see that three-headed monster, man. I don't want to see Kyrie in the court. Well, I want to see him because I'm a basketball fan. But let him go play somebody else. Like, don't play us, man. Wait till the Eastern Conference Finals to play us. But that Kyrie, man, I don't know if he plays. I mean, he is who he is, and that's just what it is.
Do either of y'all have any thoughts on the kind of Miles Turner, not really rumors, but just kind of that's been the talking point for the last couple of days? Anybody feel strongly about that one way or the other? I don't really know how we do it.
We can't. There's no way. Yeah. I can't imagine there's a way that he's on the Bucks. But he's going to go somewhere, hopefully out west.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to deal with Phoenix, right? Who in the West can deal with Phoenix? I mean, you need I don't know. I guess I don't really feel that strongly about where Miles Turner might end up, but there's contenders that need him.
Yeah.
And there's people that have the pieces. Atlanta has the pieces to get him.
Yeah, but they got Capella, and they're gonna ride him out. I don't know why, but out west, there's a lot of people that can still use him. I think the Warriors can use him. Denver. Like, Denver can use him. Memphis, if they want to play, like, because they got Steven Adams as their big man right now, which he can't really shoot threes, but Miles Turner's can. But I'm not so sold on Miles Turner. I think he's a good player, good shot blocker, but other than that, like, I don't really see him as like a like a really good player, like every team is going after him kind of deal, you know?
It's just like there's no other sexy stuff going on, so like this is what we're talking about. There's not like some big deal.
The big thing today was supposedly the Ben Simmons stuff is picking up.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know. I have a lot of Ben Simmons thoughts. They're not Bucks related, but I have a
Go ahead.
I like to think I am Milwaukee's biggest Ben Simmons stan.
Oh, great.
I don't have the argument that well laid out, but I love that Giannis hates him. But I think Ben Simmons is really good. I think he's really good. And wherever he's going to end up, I think people are all going to sudden – I'm convinced it's going to – they're going to, he's going to end up somewhere where that team's going to be way – end up way better than anyone expected after he goes there, and it's going to be like, hey, what happened?
Jim, can you please explain to me why you think Ben Simmons is really good?
Right, he convinced me already. That's interesting. Go ahead.
This is where it starts.
All right. He's a
– So about 3-4 years ago, I can't remember when it was. It was when the Sixers had their first like really good season. Down the stretch, Embiid gets hurt, and he sits out like the last 20 games of the season or whatever. The Sixers roster is deeply flawed. Marco Bellinelli and Ersan are like big minutes. Ben Simmons rolls out there.
Was this when they had Jimmy Butler?
This is Butler's in Minnesota,
I believe. Yeah, I think that's right before that, right?
Well, okay.
So Ben Simmons rolls out there with Marco Bellinelli and Ersan, wins 18 games in a row, literally just running transition offense and finding shooters. Yeah. He played with confidence. He played assured of himself. It's like – The wins are there on the record, 18 straight with no help. They were really good with him, even though it's clearly a poor fit and the city loves Embiid and hates him, right? The playoffs happen. The playoffs are the playoffs. But Ben Simmons can guard anyone. He can guard anyone.
I'll give you that.
And he can run. And if I'll admit he probably has a maturity problem, maybe a work ethic problem. That's not ideal, but like that dude can like he doesn't have to be one of the 5 best or 10 best players in the NBA, but he's certainly up there, right? And he can in the right situation he can make a roster sparkle. I'm convinced. I'll use the word sparkle.
Go ahead. While you were talking the first time, I just will say while you were talking the first time in my head. And shout out to CJ McCollum, who apparently ruptured a lung or something.
Collapsed lung.
Yeah. Oh. But in my head, I thought if he was just randomly on the Blazers and kind of playing the Magic Johnson role with those two guys healthy, that'd be something. Like there have been versions of teams of rosters, but he has to handle the ball. He can't have a big man in the middle messing up. But Joel, I can tell you when to say something. So go ahead. I can tell you when to rebut this.
There is literally. Okay, Ben Simmons, I'm not going to say he's garbage. But I'm not going to say he's good either. And he can't make any team sparkle. He's not going to make a team sparkle. Any guy that pushes the ball up the court that mentally can't shoot a jump shot, not even attempt to shoot a jump shot, he's not good. Mentally he's weak. That's how you know he's not a good player. Like players are mentally strong. Like yeah, he ran 18 straight with Marco Bellinelli. Yeah, that's cool. And then
go ahead.
It's cool in a regular season, right? And yeah, Ben was probably a big part of that. But there is no way anyone can convince me that Ben Simmons is different than a Draymond Green.
Well, that's kind of the question. Is he a distressed asset or is he just this overvalued guy? There's like two different levels of players. Like, because I like that the reason I kind of hold some of the general thoughts that I have on different players, there was always kind of this idea. I think this was even like a Levitard question like 20 years ago. Like, if any player in the league was like the number one pick or like a top three pick, could he average 20 points a game? And it was almost like the Jabari thing later, right? Like, it's like if a guy has this kind of standing on a team, can he basically get 18 points a game no matter who it is, unless it's like a stiff. But like anybody who's like a 1, 2, or 3, or 4. And you kind of can kind of squint and say, yeah, just about. Because we don't really know, like with Darko Milicic or these guys, like you don't really know they're bad for like many years. So the question is he a distressed asset that's going to have this great second run? Or was it just, you know, because he didn't win any games in LSU either. Or was he just never any good? And just kind of another nice, pretty good athlete that was just a high school All-American. But I'm open to the case. I haven't thought about Philly all year, which is crazy because I hate Philly.
I hate Philly. I don't believe in Philly anyway.
No, no one should believe in Philly. Sixers fans are kidding themselves. As much as people hate Ben Simmons, okay, tell me, wake me up, first of all, nudge me. When Joel Embiid gets the Giannis work ethic to maintain that body. What happens to Joel Embiid every single April?
Yeah.
The body falls apart.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't he have my memory isn't great on this, but I remember it seems to me like there were a couple games, the middle of that series against Toronto in 2019, didn't he have like diarrhea for like two days? He had like a stomach problem. Like
I don't know, but let's say that's true. Let's say that's true.
I swear, like there's something happens to Embiid every spring. His knee breaks down, his back breaks down. Giannis, we thought his career was over.
Exactly.
4 days later, nope, he's totally fine.
Yep.
Don't tell me that knee did not survive that impact. He built that strength.
So yeah. I'd love to spend our last 5 minutes slandering every member of the Philadelphia 76ers and Eagles and Philly. Go ahead.
Let me just say this about Ben Simmons. This is what Ben Simmons is. He's a pretty girl with bad credit. That's exactly what he is. A pretty girl with bad credit. She looks good. Like, yeah, she can distribute, you know, and – but when you want to go buy a house, buy a car, jewelry, it's not going to work, man.
If you trade for Ben Simmons, you need to have separate checking accounts.
Make sure you put somebody around him with some good credit. Is what I'm saying.
I would say he's an average looking girl with bad credit who can't cook. But you know that's just me. That's just me. We have 6% female listeners, so I think we're probably good there. Real quick, I wanted to ask y'all, so I know Jimmy said you kind of got the partial season ticket. Joel, I know you went to some games. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. I think I mentioned this a pod, but obviously really helped me out also with that championship footage that you sent me that we included, the Jennings footage. I wasn't able to use all of it, but so you guys were around. You guys were going to games. You guys were at the Deer District, and I wanted to talk in the last couple minutes that we have about what that felt like. I know how great it looked on TV, but like, man, what was like any memories, any things to stand out, any small stories, like you guys are world champions. Like, what's that like?
You can go first. Cause I have too many thoughts.
You know, so in the building, so I'm game 6, I'm in there. And actually I saw, Robert too, MKE Robert or Robert MKE, shout out to him. But so we're in there, right? The Bucks win the championship. I have never heard a stadium this loud before. And when they mentioned Giannis as the finals MVP, it was so loud in there. It was amazing. It's just like, you only get this one time. Like, Giannis only wins his first finals MVP one time. And the atmosphere was ridiculous. And they let you go down, you know, after the players left and went to the locker room, champagne showers. they let you go down to like the floor and stuff. So you can get like the small, like the confetti and stuff like that. So people are literally sitting in, me too, sitting in the seats, courtside seats, like the atmosphere, everybody, it was way too, I couldn't even believe it at first, but like the atmosphere was crazy, man. Way too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I felt all that stuff. Like, it just, it seemed like a dream as it was happening. I have like a million thoughts on this. I would almost start my own podcast just to talk about each playoff game. But so some quick hitter stuff that just pops into my mind, because like there's so many things. Deer District game 4 against Miami. It was an afternoon game. I went by myself just because I wanted to be in the Deer District. That was the first like public event thing I did in a crowd post-vaccination. That's how I knew. I was like, oh, this shot, I think, works. Because right. I didn't get sick. I bought a hot dog from a vendor. Deer District game 7 against Brooklyn. We actually tapped out halfway through the first quarter because it was too much. That was like, that crowd was too much for I'm old. I'm 44. So I had to, we snuck into a bar. We got into a bar. One of the most like serene experiences. I was never even nervous, really. I was like, I just kind of rode with it. And it was like, it was just surreal. It was so great. Another situation was, long story, very short. I ended up being able to sit in the same seat for every playoff game in Milwaukee. Through a friend, and the cost was just not that much considering what finals tickets cost. And I was just there for everything. The shot Middleton hit to beat Miami, against Atlanta, after the Suns had already clinched, some guys sat behind us in a Phoenix jersey and in a Justin Fields Bears jersey.
Oh, wow.
And they were like your typical like 22-year-old bros. And these two guys cheered every single Hawks basket. I think it would have been game 5. And everyone hated them. They just hated them so much. And I think about that guy every once in a while. Dude bought a Justin Fields Bears jersey to come to a Bucks Hawks playoff game. I'm glad that they watched the Hawks lose that game. Yeah. What else? There's just so many. Oh, the other one I was thinking about when you told me you wanted to go over some memories of last year. Thing I will never forget. I would come out of those playoff games. I'd walk out of the doors right into the Deer District, right? And the overwhelming smell of like chemical vape juice. Like whatever was happening during those home games in the Deer District, those kids were getting wild. It just smelled like that chemical, like grape, like just gross smell. And people would be like pretty messed up. And I would, you know, I like my beer. Like I had a good time in the building too. But like those are like all the little snapshots I think of. Like,
look, there is one that I want to say on quick. So after leaving the building, winning the championship, like they cut off all the streets around it, and it's just a bunch of people still in the Deer District, still in the street, and everybody's hanging out. And I took a picture of this because this is Milwaukee, right? I look to the right, right, and there's two guys on the light pole, and I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, Bucks and Six. They're yelling Bucks and Six. For one, I'm like, how did they get up there?
Absolutely. I have no idea how anyone clapped. I have to sneak in one more quick one. Game 3 against Phoenix. People sitting in front of us, it was clearly a family from either a player's family from Phoenix or someone related to the organization. They were all in Phoenix gear. It was a father and then like three children, different age ranges. And we were screaming our heads off. And in the third quarter or so, they moved down the row because we were too loud. And I was like,
this is me. I'm giving you a standing O for that right
thank
now.
Thank you very much.
Wait, so you're the loud guy at Fiserv? Because I know there's only do you have a card? Do you have to have a card that you can like make noise at Fiserv? Are you like the one guy?
I see your tweets on it. This year is a little different. I think people are just we're still coming down from the high.
Okay. I could be wrong. Look, I don't live in Wisconsin. I could be wrong. It's not as good on TV. Maybe it's the mics too.
There's still championship pedigree around here. It's still that smell of championship.
Absolutely.
Oh man, in Wisconsin, everywhere you go, you see Bucks gear, earned jerseys, earned T-shirts, like PJ chugging, you know, the champagne. You see it all, man. You really do. And it's good to see because you see different generations. My nephew all the way from he's 11, he has he just started watching the Bucks this past year, you know, all the way to people 70 and 80, you know, waiting their whole lives for this. Like, it's a good atmosphere for Bucks basketball, man.
It is. And I think people are just still – taking it in. The vibes, some of these early season games, it was so relaxed. People were so happy. Just people just walking. Like I would hang out at the new Central Waters thing up in the Pabst district, and I walked down, and like it was like a weeknight game. I think it was the Minnesota game, and everyone was just happy. And it was like, it was pretty relaxed, and there were families, but also like your typical like younger people like getting a little wild, but everyone was just happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one thing I've said this a couple of pods, but I really, and maybe you guys disagree with this because you're more kind of in the weeds of it. I really would like the Bulls to be good. And I would like to have some, we don't typically get it with Packers Bears. Like the Bears were great my whole childhood and the Packers weren't. And it seemed like it flipped. It's great. Like trading big brother, little brother, but the way DeRozan and LaVine are looking, you know, we got a little bit of it in the early Ray to the late Jordan Bulls kind of stuff, but we could have some great games, but I'd really like it to be a true rivalry, I'd like it to be something, but I'm saying that from afar. Like maybe you guys would just like to keep whooping them.
I think I like to keep whooping them, man.
Yeah.
We keep being a big brother, but like with the Chicago games, when you go to Chicago games, there's a lot of Bulls fans in there anyway.
Anyway, yeah, that's how I remember. I mean, I was at the 70th. I had kind of 10 packs, but I was at the 70th Bulls win as part of my kind of 10 pack tickets then. And it was, you know,
you gotta
it's
have 65%. Like, to be like a good rival, you have to have some people that don't like each other, like us in the Heat. Like, you know, like there's genuine hate there, you know. Well, I'm not gonna say hate, but genuine competitive
sports hate.
Yeah.
And Zach LaVine, he's a great player. He's a great player, but he's not gonna get into it with anybody. He's not gonna put fear in anybody's heart. DeMar DeRozan, yeah, because he used to kill us in Toronto.
Yeah,
but no other person. I don't see it being a rival. I mean, I hope it does. You know, I love rivals. I think it just adds that extra adrenaline to the game. But I don't really believe the Bulls either, you know. But
I think they're going to have – I'm still trying – maybe I'm just always trying to be early. But they're going to have two All-Stars. We're going to have one. I keep trying to figure out the case. Even Chris, I'm just hoping somebody makes a case because right now I really do think – Bobby Portis would be our second All-Star, and I don't think that's obviously going to happen, but like nobody has the numbers for it right now. And if you do the kind of, I mean, again, we're NBA champions, who cares, right? But we're thinking of some, we're literally at the position where we're like, wouldn't it be great if somebody else was our rival? Wouldn't that be cool? Like that part is kind of cool. Let me tell you, because this is not a visual medium, but I have to tell both of you guys, just eyes just lit up when you got to tell these stories, and you could still just kind of see the recall of it, man. It's just awesome to see.
Like, I kind of keep it G-rated, but like there were moments into August and September, even a couple times where I would just like send a message on my main Bucks thread. And it was like, they did it. That would just be like 8 o'clock in the morning. I would just send that text message, and it was just like we would just spend like 5-10 minutes like, they did. It happened.
Like when you walking down, like I was around, actually I was around the Moda 3 area, like the third award and stuff like that, or a historic award, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you wear Bucks gear and people walk by you, Bucks and Six, you know, and they're just like, hey, Bucks and Six. Like that's a thing. Like
That's great. It was
a thing before, but now it's like we won a championship in six games. Like when Giannis scored 50 points, and it's just like you walk by and Bucks and Six is a real language. You walk, people know what you're talking about. Like you wear your Bucks gear, Bucks and Six, people are gonna yell it right back at you. It is, I love the atmosphere here, man.
I gotta get back.
You have to, man.
Wait. Ain't it like snow on the ground though? Is it?
That was kind of bad, right? It's most of it's gone. It was yesterday. Okay. It's gone.
That's more up north, man. I mean, we got some snow, but it's not on the ground. It's not
yesterday. I haven't done this in 15 years. Yesterday, I did the thing where I took the quarter and like scraped my windshield. I haven't done that. I didn't do that the entire time I was in Phoenix. And I'm like, wait, what is this? Like, what is this? I don't have any ice scrapers, man. What's going on? You know, but yeah. Closing thoughts. I know we got to run. And for those listening, you already know what happened to Bucks Rockets in the future. No doubt the Bucks won by 35 points, stopping the hot Rockets. But any last thought, or maybe I'll put this out Monday. I mean, this takes a while to edit. But any last thoughts, man? And we can have you guys back on in the future. But anything else you'd like to kind of say to kind of commemorate what this has been for these 20, 30, 40 years, or just anything else you want to say, man?
I have a thought. Should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So this is personal between me and you.
All right.
But mostly between me. So I obviously, like, I'm just on the other side of you with Middleton. Okay. So a while back, I had to unfollow you on Twitter. I was like, I can't. This is supposed to be fun. And I am going onto this website, and this person I have never seen makes me so angry, right?
This is marvelous.
And I knew, like, I think, like, you're friends with Matthew Curley to some extent. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I know him, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, man, he's all about Big Dog. I love Big Dog. Big Dog means more to me than any Purple Era Buck. Like, way more means, way more. But this guy about me, and, like, I just stopped. I was like, I can't follow this guy. It's too much negativity. And then here, but this is the ultimate lesson, which I think anybody, any Bucks fan listening to this, I was like, man, the championship heals all wounds. Like, people started retweeting you into my timeline, and I was like, yeah, I agree with that. As long as it wasn't Chris based, I was like, yeah, I agree with that. I like that. That's a good point. I like that. And then, like, finally, like, I was just like, I'm following this guy again. Like, I'm going to follow this guy again. And ever since I've done that, other than the Chris thing, I'm like, oh, I like it. I enjoy following him on Twitter. And then that video, that championship video was, I mean, that was everything. That was everything. That was perfect. You had Curtis Miller in there. Curtis Miller, the number one Deer District fan. Walk it off, champ. We got a playoff to win. I'm like, Curtis, his knee just exploded on live television.
that was big. I walked 20 miles to school barefoot in the snow, uphill both ways energy. He was just like, all right.
I guess
it's a cold world, dog.
My closing thought on the title is the championship heals all wounds. We are all in it for the same thing, and that is to watch the Milwaukee Bucks.
I got to respond. Okay, real quick. Drew, I'm going to let you finish. So without a doubt, we'll go ahead and pimp right now that the second annual Tetonia World Awards will be out probably in about 5 weeks. And that definitely probably is a nominee for best story. What a marvelous story. What a marvelous story. I couldn't love that story more. That's great. I'm a little embarrassed by it, but I couldn't love that story anymore. That's wonderful.
That's hey, he was cooking Chris Middleton because I have thought about it too, Jim. I thought about unfollowing him too. But, like, you got to take the good with the bad. And one thing I like is, like, when he kills Chris Middleton, some of it you just be like, that's kind of true. Not all of it, but some of it you're like, hey, that's true. So you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. Look, guys, look, you're in an abusive relationship with this guy. I understand it. Once he's gone, once the bad man can't hurt you anymore, you'll be like, oh yeah. And I'm whatever. Go ahead. Let's get your final thoughts, Joel.
I'm sorry.
That's tough to top. No, man. I'm in my house, man. You gotta run.
Oh, it's all good. My final thoughts. So this is what I would like. So when I think about the Bucks winning the championship, right? I think when I was younger, I used to go to the Bucks game. The Bucks were so bad. I used to go to the Bucks games to watch the other team beat the Bucks. Yes. I love the Bucks, but I used to go to watch the other team. I used to be in the nosebleeds, you know, and things like that. So transform into a championship team, I didn't want to believe it because we have had so many down years. I'm like, nah, man. And how a roller coaster, the ups, the downs of this last postseason, where we, what did we go down two against the Nets? I thought we were cooked. I'm like, all right. Here we go again, another season, and then we come back and win. Same thing with the Suns. We go down 0-2. I'm like, we got all the way here. But it felt different. The Bucks came and won. And I think it changed. The Bucks winning the championship changed the whole atmosphere of Milwaukee. As far as like, I think the Milwaukee Bucks is the Wisconsin team now. At first, I think a few years ago it was the Brewers when they did the little thing with Yelich, MVP. Then, you know, it's always going to be the Packers. Like, the Packers are – I think Giannis and the Bucks has surpassed both the professional teams as being Wisconsin's team. And I absolutely love that. Absolutely love it. But the title, us winning the title, I didn't think it would happen, but we're here, and I love it. Love it, love it.
Love it. Can never take it away.
They can't. They tried. They can't. They can't do it. Sports Illustrated can't do it. Rolling Stone can't do it. Nobody can take it away. Man. It's in the record book. That's a great spot to end. I'd like to thank both of you for your expressions, man. It's really dope. It's really. I like that. Obviously, I like both of those stories, but I like kind of that idea, like, because it's like there is kind of a thing about the loser sports fan where after a while, if you're kind of walking around in the snow or whatever, to go back to your car for a team that always loses, it doesn't really make you feel like a loser, but there's just like 2% where you're just like, why am I doing this kind of thing? And to just have all that stuff just one time to be validated, it makes all those other times so much sweeter, man. So we'd like to thank... Jimmy FK, do you want to tell the people where they can find you? Do you want people to see either of y'all? I mean, I know Joel does, but like, where can I find you?
If you want to follow me on Twitter and see a lot of stuff about Mike Boonholzer, you can follow me at Jimmy FK, F as in Frank, Jimmy FK. I love my Coach Bud gifts.
I'm glad we're following each other again. You know, I kind of like that, and I think we talked offline about kind of the Titanic minute, kind of the Midnight Boys, and kind of those guys, and kind of that connection. But yeah, sure.
This is what I was saying in my closing arguments, right? The Bucks winning a championship brought you two together.
That's right,
100%.
That's right.
Won that championship.
That's right.
Jim, I don't know where this wouldn't happen.
I'm on his podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you guys are great talkers, man. I'd have had you, like, again, there's people I never disliked you. I mean, but anybody can come on. Like, I despise that. I have them on. Like, to me, it's fun chopping it up. But, like, you know, this is great. This was great. Please come on again next year. And we can talk about how the Bucks lost in seven to the Nets or whatever it is.
Oh, come
on. I'm predicting that. I'm already looking forward to the 2023 team. Woo, that 2023 team is going to be
something. No, I think we're built to repeat, man.
Built to repeat. If Brook Lopez comes back,
against anybody.
Yes, I really do. And I think we knew he was important, but he was always kind of around, so I think we probably took it for granted. But it matters.
You can see that we knew Brook Lopez.
The Bucks beat the Knicks, as I'm sure you're aware. We have one more episode left this year before we get to the second annual Tatonia World Awards. Appreciate everybody. Thanks for listening. Share this episode. Bucks in 6.